Mark Madsen joins us on Sports Byline USA. Played 9 seasons in the NBA, 3 of those with the Lakers when he was drafted in the first round by them, and then finished up his career 6 years with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And in those first 3 years, 2 of those years, he ended up winning an NBA championship with the Lakers. And, of course, he played his college ball at Stanford. Mark, when you think back about the fact that you played 9 years in the NBA, did you expect to play that long in the league?
I hoped that I would play between 10 and 12 years in the NBA, but to be honest with you, I didn't know if it would happen. And the fact that I lasted 9 years, I felt and I continue to feel very grateful. I'll never forget being in Los Angeles and signing my first contract, and Mitch Kupchak said to me, we hope that you have a nice long career here in Los Angeles for 10 years. And the moment he said that, I said to myself, I can do this. If I take care of my body, if I stay healthy, if I try to do the right things on off the court, I can play in the NBA for a period of time.
What type of mindset did you take being drafted by the Lakers as compared to, say, if it had been Portland or Memphis or one of those types of cities?
For me, so I was the last pick of the first round. I was the 29th pick overall. I really felt like the pressure was off me because going into the Lakers, they had just won their first championship in 2000. You know, A.C. Green, obviously, he's a guy with a legacy in Los Angeles, but Robert Horry really became a mentor. Shaq became a mentor. And so I felt fortunate that I could ease my way in to the triangle offense, to learning how to conduct myself as an NBA player. I'll never forget Jim Clemens, one of the assistant coaches. He told me before the season started, he said, for the first 3 or 4 months, you are going to get paid to sit on the bench and learn the game and watch the game and watch how the veterans do it on the court.
What is it that you observed when you were sitting on the bench? I'm just wondering, because you were a starter, outstanding player with Stanford, had gone to the Final Four, and then all of a sudden you're relegated to a bench position. What is it that you saw in the game from that perspective?
Well, you know, I think having the chance to watch a guy like Horace Grant, just the discipline that he brought to the game, the mindset. Horace was a guy who took great care of himself physically. He was always eating fruits and vegetables. He came into the locker room every morning. He had this transparent plastic sack full of yogurt and fruit and vegetables. He would lift the weights hard, and after practice every day, he would oftentimes, as a rookie, he would ask me to come rebound for him as he got up, you know, 10 shots at every spot. And so I think just seeing the habits of people off the court, and then when the game started, seeing how Robert Horry would defend people, seeing how Horace Grant would use his body to keep people out of the paint, it gave me a chance just to see the way they would do it so that I could try to implement that into my own game.
Mark, one of the things that I know about organizations, no matter what the sport is, that they each have their own personality. Now, we know that the Lakers are a special type of franchise. They're in a city where it's Hollywood, a little bit like New York, maybe to some degree like Chicago. But tell me a little bit about the tenor of the organization.
Well, the Lakers are a first-class organization, and they always have been under Dr. Buss, under Jim Buss, and they really take care of their people. Between my rookie and my second year that summer, I had torn a ligament in my wrist, the scapholunate ligament. It's called a dissociation, so basically tore off the bone. And I had just gotten out of surgery. I was at home in West L.A., and the phone rang, and it was Jerry Buss. The fact that Dr. Buss took the time to call me the day after my surgery, it might have been the day of the surgery, It made me feel really good inside. It made me feel appreciated. It made me feel like the organization valued me. Even though I wasn't, you know, one of the star players, I felt valued. And because of that, I felt more loyal to the organization. And I wanted to give the organization everything I had. But on the flip side of the coin, as part of the Hollywood and part of the L.A. large market, you know, when you lose a game in L.A., the fans will boo. You come into the locker room, everyone's upset from ownership on down. And that was a new experience in terms of contrasting my college experience at Stanford to the professional level game. Because in the NBA, and especially in Los Angeles, the stakes are much higher. Well, it's not that the stakes are high. It's that it's a business, and when you lose, there are serious consequences. You can get traded. You can get cut. You know, in college, it's tough to get rid of players once you've given them a scholarship.
you know as well as I do, there's kind of a status level in the NBA. Everybody's trying to upstage the other with the way they dress and the cars they drive. Now, what kind of car did you drive when you got down there with the Lakers?
Well, it's funny you asked, Ron, because I was feeling really good. My parents had given me a graduation gift, a Toyota Previa. Shaq called it an Astrovan. And it had a small dent on the side. I think one of my sisters and one of my brothers had put a dent in the side of it. In the side of the car. I'm one of 10 children in my family. My parents were very generous, and they gave me this car. I was thrilled. I felt excited. I felt good. I remember driving my car down to L.A. Phil Jackson had told me to get there August 1st, so I show up at the facility August 1st. I didn't see a single other Laker until September 28th. Actually, I saw Kobe a couple times. He came in to get shots. But other than that, I didn't see anybody until the day training camp started. But I remember one day in the locker room, it seems like Shaq was asking around. He said, "Hey, whose car is that white beat up minivan in the players' parking garage?" And I said, "Shaq, that's mine." And he said, "Big fella, you can't be rolling into Staples in that Astro van." And so he didn't like the car, but I loved the car.
And did he help you go out and look for a car, as I understand it?
The day he signed a substantial contract extension, I think it was in the area of $80 million. He had asked Mitch Kupchak to call me down to the facility. So I was actually there at the press conference. And right after the press conference, Shaq said to me, "We're going shopping." So first he took me to the dealership, and he walked me into to the CEO of the car dealership, and he said, "Sir, this is Mad Dog. I need to get him a great Tahoe," because he had asked me what I wanted, and I told him I wanted a Tahoe. And so then Shaq said he wanted to put the down payment down on the car. I told him no, because I felt guilty having someone else put the money down for a down payment when I was, you know, I was starting to get paid as a professional athlete. But, you know, my credit score wasn't established enough because I had never had a credit card coming out of college. And so that had been a complication earlier. But then Shaq also wanted the license plate to read Mad Dog. And that was just a little bit too much for him in the sense that I didn't feel I could do that. But Shaq wanted me to do that. In retrospect, part of me wishes I would have.
Mark Mattson is with us. 9 years in the NBA, won 2 championships in the 3 years he was with the Lakers, and, of course, finished up his career 6 years with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mark, how long did it take you to feel comfortable with the Lakers? Because, as I said, they had already won a championship. You were coming into that organization. You were a rookie. You were going to be sitting on the bench. How long did it take?
Well, it took a little while. I'll never forget the very first game of the season that year. The second game, it was on the road against Portland. And Horace Grant was hurt. I think his knee was tweaked. And, you know, basically Phil Jackson told me that I might see some action in that very first game. I felt incredibly nervous. And to make matters worse, I had a back spasm that was flaring up from having to guard Shaq in practice. So I could barely move. And, I had never played against Rasheed Wallace before, and I have tremendous respect for Rasheed Wallace's game. And so all of a sudden, Phil Jackson calls my name, and I'm going in there, and I'm guarding Rasheed Wallace. And I just remember being so uncomfortable at the time going into it, an NBA game for the first time that mattered. I'd played in the preseason games, and I'd played well. But this was a game where it's going to go into the win and loss column. And I might have gotten 1 rebound. I might have gotten 0 rebounds. But I remember coming out of the game, I said to myself, that was my first NBA game. I have to figure out how to get more comfortable on the court. And it took time. It took time, but it did eventually happen.
Was there an awe factor, meaning that you were awed by the guys like Kobe and like Shaq and the others?
I think when I first met Kobe and Shaq, there was a definite awe factor. And even that even persisted as you would see both Kobe and Shaq just do amazing things during games, whether it's Kobe doing a 360 dunk or Shaq. I remember there was an alley-oop pass that I think Rick Fox threw to Shaq 1 year against Portland in the playoffs. And Shaq, literally, as a 7'1", 345-pound guy, he jumped so high, it seemed like his head was at the rim. And I was in awe to see somebody that size be that agile and that just have that much athleticism. I was amazed. But at the same time, you know, you start playing against these guys every single day in practice, and you realize, hey, look, you know, they put their shoes on just like everybody else. You know, they're eating breakfast and lunch and dinner just like everybody else. And so I started to realize that, hey, you know, Shaq and Kobe are superstars. They're the best players that have ever played the game. But at the same time, no player, not even Michael Jordan, is a perfect player. And so, to be honest, it helped my confidence when I went up against other players, knowing that, hey, if we go up against Tracy McGrady, he is an amazing player, but he's still a human being. And I can go out there and I can try my best against him, and he's probably going to do extremely well, but I can still try my best to frustrate him, to play defense against him, and to try to slow him down.
We're talking basketball with Mark Madsen, 9 years in the NBA with the Lakers and the Timberwolves, assistant coach at Stanford, won a couple of NBA championships. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.